We pray. Lord of all grace, Lord of all calm, we come in need of both grace and calm. And so we pray now that you might quiet our hearts, that you would bring calm that is difficult to find in this noisy and flashy world, that we might receive the grace of your word. And Lord, would you help us to see? Help us to see as you see and not as the world sees. Clear our eyes, Lord, so that we may know you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what's the most impressive building that you've ever been to or seen or been in? I know some of you have traveled to Europe and I suspect saw the awe and wonder of one of the beautiful cathedrals there. Others of you have gone to visit our friends in Uganda and stopped along the way in Dubai and saw the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. Or perhaps a little closer to home, if you've ever been to, say, Washington, D.C., there's all sorts of buildings. You go to the Lincoln Memorial and realize even with a ladder, you couldn't climb up into Lincoln's lap. Well, for the disciples, it was clear the most impressive building they had ever seen was the temple. In fact, Herod the Great had rebuilt the temple twice the size of Solomon's temple. It contained stones as large as 70 feet wide and 30 feet deep, gold-plated. And Mark chapter 13 opens, just the next verses after our gospel text, and says, as Jesus and the disciples were leaving the temple at the end of the day, you can imagine the sun low in the sky reflecting off the gold plating. The disciples are like country bumpkins come to the city. They're overwhelmed with the grandeur of this amazing building. But it's not just the impressive building, it's the impressive people. In our gospel text, we read of the scribes, those teachers and interpreters of the law, who were dressed to be noticed in their long robes. Think of a Hollywood star walking the red carpet, dressed to be seen. These scribes commanded honor and respect, and you could see that in the way people greeted them with great humility. They always sat in the seats of privilege. They always had the best seats in the house. And they were impressive in their performance. And in this religious context at the temple, their long prayers. Jesus sees the impressive buildings and the impressive people, but he's not impressed. In fact, Jesus warns against these scribes. He says, here in the temple, in the presence of God, they exalt themselves. In the presence of others, they make clear that they're better than others. And they use prayer not to cry out to God, but to impress those who hear their prayers, the people around them. Jesus isn't impressed. And so Jesus directs their attention to someone they had missed, a poor widow. The poor widow gives two small coins to the temple offering box. Perhaps if no one had been there that day, you would hear the plink, plink of her two small coins. But of course, amidst the hustle and bustle and the roar of the coins of those who were well off, I suspect her coins were not even heard. I suspect she was not even seen or noticed. In other words, she's invisible. But Jesus wants us to see her. Jesus sees her and he wants us to see her. Why? You've probably heard this passage taught as Jesus giving a lesson on stewardship. You know how it goes. The big givers gave out of their abundance and barely noticed a change in their net worth. But here's this poor widow who gave her last two coins, all that she had to live on. And you should follow the example of the poor widow. Maybe not give all that you have, but you should give sacrificially to the capital campaign that we'll announce later this morning. Actually, I'm not announcing a capital campaign later this morning. And I'm not sure that's Jesus' point. This is Jesus' last visit to the temple before he goes to the cross. It seems odd that he would stop on his last visit at the end of the day to pause, to give a lesson on stewardship so future generations would be able to raise their funds for the Family Life Center. Something more profound is going on here. We get a clue in Jesus' warning about the scribes. In fact, in his warning, he connects the scribes with the poor widow. As Jesus warns about the scribes, the disciples could actually see what he was talking about. They could see the long robes. They could see the honorable greetings. They could see them sitting in the places of honor. They could hear their long, impressive prayers. But there's one other warning that Jesus gives about the scribes that I actually skipped over earlier. Jesus said also that they devour widows' houses. What does that look like? What does it look like for the scribes to devour widows' houses? Jesus points to the poor widow. Jesus points to the poor widow who has given her all. She has nothing left to live on. She has nothing left. And this poor widow is giving her all for what? What were her 2 coins go to? Buying more, longer, more beautiful and ostentatious robes for the scribes? For seat cushions to make these seats of honor a little more comfortable for the scribes? For more gold plating for the temple? Is that what her offering goes to? This is how the scribes devour widows' houses. They take in their last 2 coins to make their lives more impressive, more comfortable. Don't you want to stop her? Don't you want to say, don't give the money. It's a waste. It's a scam. This is a corrupt church with a corrupt leadership. Don't do it. But she does it. The poor widow gives all she has for a corrupt people in a corrupt temple. And Jesus doesn't stop her. He doesn't speak to her. He doesn't encourage her. He just points to her. In the midst of the impressive buildings and the impressive people, he wants us to see this poor widow who has given her all for a corrupt people in a corrupt temple. I believe Jesus points to her not to teach a stewardship lesson, but because he sees a beautiful picture of himself. Jesus is about to go to the cross and give his all, his very life, for a corrupt people. He will give his life as an offering for the sins of the world, for both the impressive and the struggling, for the in crowd and the down and out, for the pompous and the humble, for the powerful and the weak, for the eye-catching and the invisible, for the very people who dismissed and ridiculed and scoffed and ultimately condemned him, he will give everything. He gives them his all for them and for you and for me. The beauty of the church today is not found in soaring arches or intricate stained glass windows or in pews filled with impressive people or pulpits of preachers with lofty words. The beauty of the church is found in her people who receive this sacrificial love of Christ. This love that, as Dr. David Schmidt says, not only forgives our sins, but transforms our lives. We become temples of the Holy Spirit, beautiful in the kingdom, because we overflow with God's self-sacrificial love. The beauty in the church today is found in a people who follow a self-sacrificing Savior. It's the single mom who wakes up Sunday morning, her only day off. Everything about her weary body cries out to sleep in, to take a day off. But she gets up and she gets her 2 daughters up. and they complain and they whine and they fight and they resist, but she brings them to church. It's the only hour she has to offer. She knows she should get more, but she doesn't have time with two jobs to go to Bible study, to help with VBS, to do all the things that she knows would be good to do. But she offers this one hour in hopes that her daughters will know that there is a father who loves them and who keeps his promises to them. Few know her name, but Jesus does. Jesus sees that sacrifice, and he recognizes that something good is going on here. There's the well-dressed man who is successful and always has friends and is always greeted because we know we're going to need his help in the next capital campaign. But what's invisible is every Sunday his heart breaks as he thinks of his two sons who have abandoned the faith. And though the people around him envy him, he would gladly give it all to have his sons return to church. We could go on and tell story after story after story, but I think Jesus wants you to know this woman is a picture of himself who gives his all for a corrupt people. And for you who make the sacrifices you make, unseen by the world, unappreciated, Jesus sees you. Jesus knows. He knows the sacrifice you make that seems like nothing at all, but in his eyes and in his hands, it becomes a part of his sacrifice that he uses to beautify the church and to draw all people to himself. Jesus sees you. He knows what it's like to give your all for a world that doesn't seem to care because he gave his all for you. Amen. Father, how great your grace that you would give your son to a people such as us. Father, we confess we are undeserving. We confess that we don't even comprehend the greatness of the gift. But by your grace, by the help of your Holy Spirit, we do begin to grasp that something special happened when that widow gave two coins, that she set the pace for the rest of us, that as we give to a world that doesn't care, you know, you see, and you're building your kingdom on people such as these. Thank you for the grace poured out to us in Jesus Christ. Give us a heart like his that sacrifices for others. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.